One time I had been a part of a team planning a new radio program, and we were making a pitch for financial support. We'd been working with this idea for months, honing in on what was missing in similar offerings, the weakness in the programs that were currently on the air. Well, the day came for this big presentation, and I thought I'd make a really good pitch, and thought I did. At the end, the decision maker at the other end of the table turned to me and said, "Mr. Brown, you've given me a very clear idea of what your program isn't, but you haven't explained to me what it is." You know, he was right. What a lesson, in more ways than one. Hey there, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm David Brown. Have you ever been facing a situation in the community or the world that seems so topsy-turvy? It's abnormal. This can't be. This has to change. Well, it sure does. But what's our standard? What's our model? What are we seeking? Relief from something that isn't, or what truly is? And how can that kind of search bring about healing? Our guest today is Chiamezi Elvis Ahanonu of Owerri in Imo State, Nigeria. He's in the public practice of Christian Science healing. He applies the teachings of Christian Science to heal others, which is to say he's a Christian Science practitioner and a teacher of Christian Science too. Chiamezi, welcome to Sentinel Watch.
Thank you, David. Glad to be here.
I'm so happy to get to meet you too, because I read somewhere that you found Christian Science for yourself as a teenager, listening to the Sentinel radio broadcasts way before we became the Sentinel Watch podcast. I feel like I should say, welcome home.
Thank you. And that's really interesting. Thank you.
It certainly is interesting. Tell us a little bit about that Sentinel radio program that sparked your interest in Christian Science.
Actually, I found Sentinel Radio from my interest in shortwave radio listening. Mm. I loved listening to shortwave radio. And that time, there were a few stations that spoke English. So what I usually do when I wake up in the night is like surf the airwaves trying to like find an English-speaking station. And that was how I tuned into this station, and they were speaking English. And they were saying things about God, but it wasn't really clear to me. I didn't really understand it, but the few I could pick up made so much sense to me. So I loved every once in a while tuning into that radio station, you know. Each time I tune in there and listen to whatever they are saying, it just brings so much peace to me and, you know, harmony. And I loved tuning into that station. And I kept doing that for a long time. I didn't know they were a religious organization or anything like that, but I just loved the programs. Until when I relocated to Jos in central Nigeria. And when I got there, 2 years, I couldn't tune into Sentinel Radio. I would wake up in the night and I would search the airwaves, hoping and praying I would tune into that station. It didn't happen. And then one night I tuned into the station and it turned out to be at the tail end of their program. And they said, for more information, write to csps.com. And that was it. Uh-huh. The next day, when I went to work, at the close of work, and I went to a business center and I sent an email to CSPS.com. And I was like, what are you people? Are you a religious organization? This is where I am in central Nigeria, Jos. Do you have your members or people who know about you who I can ask questions about? That mail was not replied to till today, because CSPS.com is not an email address. It is a website. Less than 5 minutes after I stepped out of that internet cafe, the whole city of Jos was blacked out. You know, there was no electricity that night. So I was walking down, going back to my house. The usual road I've been taking to walk all day, I saw at the front that there was a Coca-Cola truck, a big truck, coming in my direction. Hmm. And the road was not that wide, so I decided to step across the drainage and then wait for the big truck to pass. So while I was standing waiting for the big truck to pass, with the lights of the vehicle coming behind me, right in front of me, I saw a signpost, Christian Science Society, West of Mines, Jos. This was just less than 5 minutes after I'd sent a mail asking where I can find their members. That's the strangest thing, one of the strangest things I ever experienced, you know. So I got my answer 3 minutes after I stepped out of the internet cafe.
I love that. And for people who don't know about this, Sentinel Radio used to be broadcast over a shortwave, a couple of shortwave stations, actually. One in Saipan, I believe it was, and there was another transmitter down in South Carolina. And it would beam religious programming and news programming from the Christian Science Monitor around the world. And of course, everything has changed in the years since. We have podcasts now, and there are other ways of distributing Sentinel programs. And Chiamese was just the kind of listener that Sentinel Radio was built for. And so it's just a delight to get to talk with you and to hear more about your story and how you experienced growth in Christian Science. So do you remember how you found a copy of the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy? Do you remember?
Oh, yes, I do.
When that happened or how you found it?
Exactly, I do. I walked into a bookshop in Jos, and I was actually looking for this very book, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. I thought I could see it in a bookshop. And there it was. I saw it. And I bought a copy. Then the day I eventually now found the church, I came early. I was waiting for the members to come. And then they opened the door of the church, they cleaned the place, and then we just sat down. And after the service, they were now like, "Who invited you?" I told them, "God invited me." And they were like, "How?" I told them this story, how I found the place. They were like, "Wow, God actually invited you." So they gave me a copy of Science and Health. I told them I already have one. They said, "How did you get it?" I said, "I saw it in a bookshop, modern bookshop." They said, "Oh, we kept those ones there so that the bookshop will help us sell them." So that was how I got my first copy of Science and Health, 17 years after I started listening to Sentinel Radio. So you can see that.
That's remarkable. That is absolutely remarkable. So did you immediately begin to apply what you were reading in Science and Health, or had you already started to apply some of the things that you had heard on the Sentinel Radio broadcast? How did you go deeper into Christian Science from that point?
I started reading Science and Health, and I got to page 60, and I stopped. I don't know why I stopped, but I didn't read the book again for 7 good years, okay? But then, almost every day, there was this thought, why don't you go back to this book? Why don't you go back and read this book? That thought was there, urging me to go read that book. So, after 7 years, I had moved where I was living. So, I had an agent who helped me get the house. So, he was coming to pick up his commission. And then he came with Bibles. And I asked him, "Do you sell Bibles?" He said, "Yes." So I took a Bible from him. When I got home, I told myself that I was going to read this Bible from Genesis 1 to the last verse in Revelation. I said, I'll take it bit by bit. I don't care how long it takes, but I'll read it. And then I set my alarm clock for 2 o'clock in the night. So each evening when I get home, I go to sleep early so that I'll be able to wake up by 2 o'clock and I started reading the Bible. So I was reading the Bible. Sometimes I'll read about a chapter, 2 chapters, or 3 chapters, sometimes just 1 chapter. And I was doing it for 8 months plus some weeks. I finished reading the Bible. Then a thought was now like, why don't you now read this book? That was when I picked up Science and Health, and I continued that way, the way I read the Bible, and I started reading Science and Health. And I read it from cover to the last page of it. And I didn't really understand everything I read, but the few I was able to understand was just logical and it made so much sense. And then I now went back again to start reading it all over again. And, you know, this time around, it was more like studying it. That was when I started taking in the ideas in Science and Health, and they were making so much sense. It was so logical. And that was how it became convincing to me that, look, I have something precious in my hands and I need to pay more attention to it. This is how I began exploring the ideas in Science and Health and gradually understanding them and gradually putting them into practice. And then from putting them into practice, I now saw that these ideas, when lived out, actually works.
I think of how happy that would have made Mrs. Eddy, you know, to know that you read the Bible from front to back and then you went to Science and Health and read that. I'm curious how you were able to apply some of what you were learning after having read the Bible and Science and Health. I'd love to hear more about what you did.
Yeah, there's a statement at the beginning of Science and Health where it says, to those leaning on a sustaining infinite, today is big with blessings. At that time of my life, I was going through a lot of challenges. And I was just like trying to like find a way out of, you know, the numerous challenges that were, you know, all around me. And then when I read that, to those leaning on a sustaining infinite, today is big with blessings. I loved to read that almost every morning because it was saying today, which means every day is big with blessings. And I felt, okay, every day is big with blessings. And gradually, the ideas I was picking up from Science and Health tuned my thoughts into contemplating spiritual ideas almost every moment of my life at that time. I had a shop then. I'll go into my shop and I'll sit down and I'm thinking, trying to understand the things I read the night before, you know, trying to make sense of them. But then in the course of tossing them around in my thinking, trying to understand them, the ideas were connecting and it was making so much sense. And then I could see that my experiences too were changing. Things were turning out in the right places for me. It was later I discovered that what I was doing was spiritual reasoning. And that's a form of prayer too. And it was a beautiful experience, I must tell you. Because I was really, really enjoying understanding the truth of being, as Christian Science puts it. Back in 2011, at that time, Josh was hot with fightings between Christians and Muslims, you know. And churches were being bombed on almost every week and communities were being killed. And, you know, the hatred between Christians and Muslims was palpable. You could feel it. There was no conversation in town where, if it's among Christians, where they weren't talking about their hatred for Muslims. And if it was happening with Muslims, where they weren't talking about their hatred for Christians. So the hate was there. And I joined in the hate. I was involved in, you know, the criticisms and all that. But even as I was doing it, there's this voice that kept telling me, this is not you. This is not you. And before long, the effect of that hating became unbearable because it felt as if I was just living someone else's life. This is not me. And it became a source, very big source of concern to me, that I must find a way to extract myself from this. And there was nowhere else I could go except for the Bible and the writings of Mary Baker Eddy. And it was in these books that I discovered that the peace I seek is not outside. It's not something that has to be negotiated between Christians and Muslims. No, it is something within me already. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. That's what he told us. He told his followers, the kingdom of God is within you. And I discovered that from my study of Christian Science, that the peace I was looking for was already in me. It was already existing. Peace is my natural state of being. And with that, I extracted myself from that hateful atmosphere and lifted thought above what was happening physically. And I was able to restore my peace, even in that atmosphere.
What a wonderful experience. Did you find complete freedom? Like, say, if you were in a group with other people and you started to hear things being said, you know, between
exactly.
Muslims and Christians about each other, and it was negative. How did you deal with that?
Well, I didn't contribute anymore. And right as they are saying it, I am affirming the truth of being within me without opposing them. Okay? Without opposing them, as in speaking against what they were saying, because I know that that would bring about altercations. So if I find myself in a group where hatred is being discussed, all I do is be quiet and silently affirm the truth of being that God, the God of peace, is still in charge of this community and is governing all of us. That was how I extracted myself, and I found peace of mind.
Did the friction between Muslims and Christians, did it continue?
This is a situation I am still praying about, and not just me, a lot of people are praying about it. And I think our prayers are actually having effects. The church bombings did stop. So that time, it was more or less happening on a daily basis. You know, people were being killed in the villages. Every Sunday, churches were being bombed. People were dying. The casualties were mounting. That was what brought about the hateful atmosphere that became the order of the day at that time. You know, but it's gradually reduced to bare minimums, not by the government, but by people's prayers.
There are a lot of tensions, as I'm sure you're aware, on this side of the ocean. A lot of people feeling like we've never been as divided over so many issues.
Yeah.
But, you know, especially politics, it seems like divides people quite a lot right now. And
yeah.
And there's this feeling that things are out of control. That's how deeply the feelings are here.
Yeah.
But when you went to seek the truth, and it sounds like that was really part of this whole healing, that you were seeking a truth for yourself.
Yeah.
That you found that you wouldn't find that truth in what your eyes and ears were telling you.
Exactly.
You were looking for something deeper. Your model, I suppose you can say, was something that was higher or greater than the evidence that the eyes and ears were giving you.
You're right.
That in a way, this feeling of being trapped is mental, completely mental.
Yeah, it's mental. And there was fear back then, a whole lot of fear. There's the expectation that something bad can happen. For instance, there was an evening I came back and my neighbors called me to a meeting. And when I got to the meeting, they told me that there was a plan that our enclave will be attacked that night. That they are thinking of staying awake and watching. And I was like, what are we going to stay awake and watch with? Because the people who are going to attack us, it is very clear, it is very obvious. Everybody knows that they have guns, they have AK-47 and Kalashnikovs. And I think the biggest weapon we have there were machetes and kitchen knives, you know. So I was like, I suggest we lean on God. But then even as that discussion was going on, honestly, I had no atom of fear in me. I was so sure that what they were saying was false. I was so convinced that nothing was going to happen that night. So at the end of the day, some people didn't like the way I was questioning what they were doing. So, but I told them that, look, the only option we have is to go back to our houses and lean on God and pray to God to guide us. And I think they bought into what I was saying because there was no way we could defend ourselves with what we had. And then we went back to our houses. And that night, I just prayed to God. I wasn't afraid, but I was just like, Father, what exactly do I need to know? And the answer was that God was in charge of the situation. Nothing can protect us more than God can. And I slept off. And in the morning, there was nothing. In fact, the next day, when we got to the market, the city center, the Muslims were telling us that the Christians had a plan to attack them the same night. So the Muslims were there in fear, and we were on our side in fear.
Wow. You were both fearing each other.
Yeah.
And in the end, went back home.
Yeah.
And leaned into God.
Exactly.
Could you say more about how you prayed? And how did that connect with what you had been learning in Christian Science?
From the standpoint of the physical senses, you know, what we could see was fear and danger and apprehension. But then when thought is lifted beyond what the material senses are bringing to us, are presenting to us, the peace, the calmness, the serenity of God is right there. It says, be still and know that I am God. You know, you lift your thoughts. Once thought is lifted beyond all these material illusions, there's that peace. There's that sense of safety and security in the unseen. And that is reassuring to anybody who understands and can practice and put into practice the ideas that Christian Science teaches. So I am very grateful to Christian Science for this, because before Christian Science, I didn't know that, you know, you can look beyond what is happening right before your eyes and have a different view of situations and conditions and events.
Let me ask you, just as someone who's, you know, you're clearly a student of Christian Science, as am I, but you know, I know that there might be someone listening who says, well, thinking about the situation that you had with the fear that your enclave was going to be attacked.
Yeah.
Of course, that turned out to be a completely false fear.
Yeah.
As all fears are, I suppose we should say, but there was nothing to it. The Muslims feared that the Christians were going to attack, and the Christians feared that the Muslims were going to attack.
Exactly.
But what if? And I'm curious how you think of this. What if, in fact, that night there was to be an attack on your enclave? Would Christian Science have protected you?
Not just me. Remember, I said I was never afraid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that ability to not be afraid was not just there. It was because I had some knowledge of God and my true relationship with God. You know, I knew that God, good, fills all space. And I also know that that filling of all space is a force for good, so to say. And I also know that God is in control of his creation. And I also know that even if it's one person that realizes this truth in his thinking, it is capable of bringing a lot of good changes to whatever situation or condition that was prevailing at that time. So I knew some things about God and my relationship with God, and that was what informed my fearlessness and my conviction that all is well.
Is that a complete protection, or is it just a a feeling that makes you feel better in the moment. How can you trust that?
It's not just something I think about and feel good about. No, it is a conviction, something I know to be the true facts, spiritual facts of existence, that God is not a physical being and that we cannot expect, you know, to see God or touch God, that God is a powerful force for good in the universe, the only force. Mr. Eddy says that no power can withstand divine love, which is God. And this force is capable of changing whatever human thought is perceiving to be a negative situation or condition, because this is the actual truth of being. Whatever human thought is projecting or putting up is what it believes to be the facts. But the true fact is that good prevails, that good fills all space, that God is in charge of his creation. And this understanding, when brought to one's thinking, changes the material conditions for good. I've had physical health challenges. For instance, I've had a very severe toothache, and it was so severe that when the pain comes, it felt like it just couldn't allow me to concentrate and do the things I needed to do. But one of the things I maintained in those situations and conditions was not to be afraid. I knew that the belief of toothache was something very prevalent in our society and all around us. And in Christian Science, we say there's something we call impositions. If you're not careful about what you open your thoughts to, you know, there's a tendency for what others are thinking to affect you. So I prayed along the line that the man made in God's image and likeness is superior to anything unlike God. An illness is unlike God. And as the reflection of God, I cannot reflect anything unlike good, anything unlike God. If you are standing in front of a mirror, the mirror reflects you, the original, so to say. So the reflection is not independent. Mm-hmm. So that same way, man, as the image and likeness of God, reflects God only. And when one is able to understand and know himself as a spiritual idea, that takes you away from things that cannot in reality affect God or affect his idea. At the end of the day, the toothache just stopped on its own, and that was it. The way it came all of a sudden, that was the way it disappeared all of a sudden. This was like 3 years ago, and it hasn't returned since then.
Wow, that's marvelous.
Yeah.
So you do rely on this truth. Do you have to be a Christian Scientist to take advantage of this approach?
I don't believe that one has to be a Christian Scientist to experience that, no. I mean, peace, being something within us, can be experienced by each and every one of us. You don't need to be a Christian Scientist to experience peace. Mm-hmm. And the Bible is there. These teachings are in the Bible. What Mary Beck already wrote, her primary work, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, was based on her study of the Bible. So these ideas are actually from the Bible, but then explained further by Mary Beck already.
I want to understand something. You said you understood yourself as a spiritual idea.
Yeah.
And I've heard this, obviously, in my own study of Christian Science. And I'm wondering, what does that mean to you? And why is that so important? Understanding yourself as a spiritual idea.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I love that.
Jim Macy?
Yeah, I love that. There's a statement in Science and Health. I think that's the definition of soul. said, what are the body and soul? And Mrs. Eddy didn't go about saying soul is this or that. She said identity is the reflection of spirit. That's how she began her definition of soul there. She said identity is the reflection of spirit, and spirit is God. So that's identity. Our true identity is reflecting God. Now, man as a spiritual idea means that man is not corporeal. God said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil. God's thought is pure, it's perfect. It's always in harmony, because there is no inharmony in God. There is no imperfection in God. There is no impurity in God. So the idea of God is as pure, as perfect, and always in harmony as God is. And that understanding that this is what man is, it brings about good in your experiences, in the experiences of those who are coming in contact with you. That's the Christ spirit, and the spirit of the Christ is guiding your thoughts, guiding your actions. As long as it's guiding your thoughts, it reflects in your actions, because what we think eventually becomes what we do. So when the Christ is guiding our thinking, good is bound to be our experiences and the experiences of those who get in contact with us.
You know, Chiamese, I was touched by what you were saying when you were talking about seeing yourself as that image and likeness. And I've heard that so many times, but as you were saying it, I could feel something there stirring. And I know that there are likely to be people listening to this podcast, perhaps as you were, as that teenage boy tuning in shortwave radio years ago. And perhaps it's you know, not altogether clear, but something is stirring inside.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you could talk to that person right now, and that person that's feeling that stirring.
Yeah.
What would you tell them about the next step? What can they do to learn more?
Each and every one of us has questions about existence that has not been answered. Okay? The point is, how does one get a clearer view of the truth of being, as Christian Science puts it? How does one get a clearer view of God? A lot of people believe that God is unknowable, you know, but if God is unknowable, Jesus wouldn't be teaching people about God. Jesus was a teacher, and he was teaching about God and the things of God. So since he is our way shower, he came here to show us the way to a good life, we can as well follow him in that understanding that God can be known and God can be understood. The book Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, Key to the Scriptures, that's what Mrs. Eddy said about her book, you know, it opens the Bible for you. It makes you understand. It gives you a spiritual view of the Bible. You get to see the unseen things underneath the words, the Word of God in the Bible. Makes it clearer for the average person to understand. And it helped me, and I recommend it for anybody who wants to get a good understanding of God, man, and the universe.
Chiamese Elvis Ahanonu is from Owerri, Imo State in Nigeria. Chiamese, it has been marvelous to get to meet with you and talk with you today on Sentinel Watch. And I can't wait for the day to come when I get to meet you in person and shake your hand and
thank you.
Tell you how much this conversation has meant to me. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, too. Nice to be here.
My colleague Carlos Machado recently spoke with Vladimir Rimov from Eastern Ukraine. Vladimir told us about an experience he had whereas someone new to the teachings of Christian Science, he prayed and saw God's protecting power in action. Let's listen.
I am Volodymyr Harimov. I am from Ukraine, particularly Eastern Ukraine. 2 summers ago, I was pretty new to Christian Science, and I went home that summer. I was enjoying my summer. But, you know, it's daily bothers when you have a war in your country. And, of course, it was a part of me when I was living in Eastern Ukraine, only about 60 miles from Russian border. And it was a peaceful day, and I was just enjoying, and I just see this big funeral. It was 1,000, maybe 2,000 people just standing next to each other, and it was a lot. And they were just all so together, and when I was walking past, I was like, that's not too nice, because you shouldn't be really having so many people at the same place at the same time. And as I turn behind the apartment building and almost get to my house, I just hear this absolutely thundering, whistling noise, like hearing a missile just flying above the houses and shooting somewhere. I was blinded. I didn't know where it was because I was behind the apartment block. And obviously my first thoughts were about how it could be absolutely awful. It could be absolutely horrifying. It could be an absolute massacre out there. And I was pretty fresh to Christian Science, and I was just thinking about it. And, you know, I was like, why am I letting all of those horrible thoughts coming in? Just remember that God is love. And I just sat next to the window and I thought about what I learned that year. And there was just this feeling of peace, and then everything is okay. Everything is all right. And I wasn't even trying to think about it, because in my head, it was okay. It was all right. And I didn't even put much attention to it. And then about 4 hours later, I finally was like, okay, it's time to get to know what actually happened. And when I went outside, I just went to that place and I just see that everything is okay. And I see this huge crater, absolutely like in the middle of nowhere. There is a field behind that place where I live that was never used. Nobody ever cut grass in it. Nobody did anything with it. And there was just a crater in the middle of it. And then I'm opening the news, not a singular person who was dead or injured to a point where they would need to be hospitalized. And to a lot of people, that could appear just miraculous and magical, but it was definitely a great example of God's presence and God's love for all the people. It's like when you're learning something in class that you theoretically could see, but then you actually see it or experience it at your job site. It's kind of like how it was for me. It was just seeing that on bigger scale than just me not having a headache, or examples of healing that I experienced when I was learning Christian Science and how to practice in my life, or just things that obviously that matter to me, but they're not death threatening. And then there is a part of lives of others. And that's kind of like when you see it in a bigger scale, it feels more important, more impactful. It changed the way I see Christian Science in some way, because I feel like Christian Science kind of switches your perception of situation into a better way, because there is more hope for you and there is just those morals that are aligned with Christian Science that definitely help out with a lot of situations and a lot of connections with people.
I'm going a bit on a limb here, but I want to share something with you that may help you in your own personal search. If you're just coming across this and want to learn more about Christian Science, let me give you a web address you can go to and start to get more answers on that journey. It's sentinel.christianscience.com. That's sentinel.christianscience.com. And once you go there, you can scroll down to the bottom of the page, and there's a column that says Connect. And under that word Connect, you'll see a little button that says Contact Us. We would love to hear from you And not just if you're a newcomer. If you've been listening to Sentinel Watch for some time, we'd love for you to say hello. One more time, that web address, sentinel.christianscience.com, and click on Contact Us. We'll be in touch. Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm David Brown. Our podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our production assistant is Natasha Telshow. Our editor is Lisa Rennie Seitzma. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. We'll talk again soon.
Still looking for a summer internship that's the right fit? Or do you know someone who is? Apply to join the team for the 2026 summer internship program at the Mother Church, or share about it with a university student or recent grad. Internship information can be found at christianscience.com/internships.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.